This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I mean, it's a Friday. We got action. We got the Quad City DJs. Masters. A tradition unlike any other.
I enjoy watching the Masters.
It's fun. I'm wearing my Masters. Not that this is a Masters quarter zip because it's an LL Bean, but it is the color of the grounds and the pimento cheese sandwich wrapper. So if someone were to dispose of me on the fairway, you would not see me on the telecast. I would blend in.
Did you put that your sandwich in them nasty-ass wrappers again this year?
Crowder, that's for the weekend. You're so silly. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got to save those nasty-ass sandwich wrappers. My bad.
I took my nephews to lunch today, and I was explaining that to them. And as I was explaining it, I realized how disgusting it sounds. I'm like, yeah, listeners bring me back wrappers from the sandwiches at Augusta so that I can eat sandwiches as if I'm at Augusta watching the Masters. But as I'm saying it, I realize how ridiculous it sounds, especially if you don't buy into the bit. Now it's just crazy Uncle Mark eating sandwiches out of listeners' wrappers.
I was going to say, did your nephews, because we're not related, I've told you this for years, did your nephews realize it and bring it to Uncle Mark's attention?
No, because Uncle Mark was taking them for cash pop tickets. So.
Yeah, Hawk, that's nasty.
Well, agree to disagree. Another Panthers win last night. Brad Marchand scored his first goal as a Florida Panther. Feeling a little better as we head into the postseason here. And the Heat are in New Orleans tonight. There's a little scuttlebutt, Solana, with the Heat tonight because Spo says, even though they're essentially locked into the 10 seed, Spo says they're playing all the starters and they're playing to win. So what do you make of that?
It's what the Heat do, right?
I mean, I saw Ethan Skolnick tweet out, that's crazy.
Yep.
It's certifiably insane. You have nothing to play for. You yesterday on the show talked about, hey, you got to rest your guys. So now it's just that's what the Heat do? I feel like it's not what they do all the time.
It is, though, Hawk, because there's still a chance, right? There's still a chance if the Atlanta Hawks lose out and the Chicago Bulls lose out, there's still that off chance that the Heat can move up in the standings. And as long as there's a chance for the Miami Heat to be in a position to either improve their standing or to compete at the highest level, they're going to do it. This is a team that lost 10 straight games in the month of March. Teams that lose 10 straight in the month of March sit Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo and Andrew Wiggins and call it a month and call it a season and say, we're going to go push for lottery balls. And the Heat did not do that. They committed to trying to rebound.
You yesterday, we can go back and listen to the show. You yesterday said they should rest their starters.
Oh, I'm not advocating for Bam and Tyler to play tonight. I'm just telling you this is what the Heat do.
Gotcha.
This is their mindset. We don't tank. We don't sit. Like, there's a chance we're going to play our guys.
Solana, please get the culture drop out while I explain to Hawk what's going on.
Of course.
You can't want to drop culture, Heat culture, toughest condition, never give up, best players in the world, the best condition, and then say, hey, we're going to throw it in, we're the 10th seed. If there's a chance, we have a drop that says this. Hawk. We wouldn't have a drop if we don't believe in this crap.
Who is
we
that, by
do
the way?
This.
Who is that on that drop?
It's our culture guy.
We have a culture guy?
Yeah. I think that's Solana.
Is that you, Solana?
Nah, it's Dan Day.
No.
Couldn't figure out who that was.
We love the culture, and so let's rock the culture.
Now that you say that, I'm thinking back to Riley after last season saying, hey, shut up if you're not out there playing and we need you more. So I guess it would be pretty incongruous for him to do that after the season, essentially wreck the roster without knowing it at that moment for the upcoming season and then, you know, sign off on, yeah, don't play anybody the last couple of games and we'll see what we can do with the 10 seed. Yeah, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, when you ride with the foolishness, when it's positive, you got to ride with the foolishness when it's negative.
Here's one angle, though, that I think I bring it up on my pregame show tonight, and Tommy and I will discuss it. And I think it's a rational angle. I don't know how much truth there is to it. Since Andrew Wiggins was traded here, 31 games, he's played in 16 only. So his opportunities to actually be on the court with Tyler and with Bam Adebayo are few and far between. If you believe that this team can make a little bit of noise in the postseason, we don't. The Heat obviously do.
I don't necessarily not believe that they will.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm being honest. Noise. You don't think they could take Cleveland to seven? I do.
No.
I do.
They can take Cleveland to seven.
I believe that. I'm not a believer in Cleveland.
Huck, I believe they can get out of the play-in. I don't believe they're going to win a real series.
I tell you what, I don't not believe that they can't get past Cleveland. I know it's a funny way of putting that.
You double negative. And
I know, but I don't want to say that I believe they're going to get past Cleveland, but I don't not believe that they're not going to get past Cleveland.
Right.
Right.
Well said.
Which should be their marketing slogan.
You've heard of White Hot?
Not believe,
well,
sure.
Wait till you hear this.
How funny would that be? Yeah, what are you guys doing this year? Are you doing White Hot, Red Hot, Back in Black? No, we're doing this. Don't not believe that we can't not get past Cleveland.
That's a long-ass phrase.
What are we going to do? We're going to put that on shirts. What are we going to do there?
Wiggins, Tyler, Bam, they need more continuity. They need more reps together. That could be the process here. That could be the mindset of the head coach, Eric Spoelstra.
Well, let me read you something from Ira Winderman. Someone emailed Ira Winderman, the Sun Sentinel. Andrew Wiggins did not look right against the Bulls. And Ira responds, no, he did not. The hamstring is still an issue, fitted with a stim device before he left the United Center on Wednesday night. It will be interesting now to see if the Heat prioritize rest or prioritize trying to get him back up to speed with teammates ahead of the play-in round. The Andrew Wiggins on display on Wednesday night was not the same player who was such a key contributor before being sidelined. Now, when they say they're going to play at full strength, that doesn't necessarily mean Wiggins is going to play, because would you rush him back just to get the continuity, or would you let his body heal 100% and still maybe miss a little bit of that continuity?
Rest him and try to catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
I think he's well rested, though. He had missed six straight. I don't think there was a chance in hell he's playing on a bum hamstring 75% against the Chicago Bulls the other day. I think he's at full strength, but when you're coming back from a bum hamstring and you've missed six straight, it takes you some time because of the hamstring injury to get back to game shape, which is what I think we saw the other night. He made jumpers. He made three triples in that game, but there was just no explosivity on that hamstring. Is that a word? Explosivity?
No, it's explosiveness.
Damn.
Good try, though.
But it delights me, man. I am delighted to hear explosivity in the first segment.
The action of exploding. I'm with you, Solana. I thought you were riding.
Man, I felt good,
explosiveness,
too.
Explosiveness, yeah. You knew it when it came out, didn't you?
Yeah, right away.
Yeah, it didn't sound right. Yeah. Heat fans, by the way, your seat to the Miami Heat play-in and playoffs, hopefully, is waiting. Visit heat.com/postseason tickets to purchase them right now. We have one final four-pack to give away today for Heat and Wizards on Sunday. Just keep listening for that. On the show today, Will Manso, he's going to join us. We can talk some Heat with him. Chris Whittingham is going to join us. Going to follow along on the Masters here. I put in two bets before the tournament started yesterday. I told you. I have Billy Horschel and I have Bryson DeChambeau. DeChambeau is only one stroke back of the leader right now.
Yeah,
he had a nice little round today.
He was swinging them sticks earlier today.
Yep. I'm on a little bit of a heater. I'm not going to lie. I hit a three-leg parlay last night. I had Gus Forsling over 2.5 shots on goal. Seth Jones over 1.5 shots on goal. And Brad Marchand to score a goal. So it was a heavy-duty three-leg parlay. The one I was most nervous about, obviously, was the Marchand goal, and he did it. And the other two came in as well. The day before that, I hit the four-leg parlay. I had Inter Miami to win on Wednesday night. I had total goals in the game over 1.5. I had Lakers minus 5 that night against the Mavs. And I had Matas Buzelis over 12.5. That was another winner. And the bet before that was Matt Mervis anytime home run. And he hit the ding-dong in the ninth. So I'm on a heater right now.
I'm going to ride with you tonight.
A little bit of a heater. Let's get headlines here. Start out the show today. Headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Busy weekend as well. The Heat do play tonight, but you got Canes spring practice tomorrow from Cobb Stadium at the UM campus in Coral Gables. No Carson Beck, but the U back tomorrow.
Probably going to be hot as hell out there, huh? It's hot out today.
It's going to be warm. Is a young guy as a quarterback, right? Not Williams. I don't even know his name, but.
I don't know. I checked out once Poffenbarger transferred.
Yeah, that was the answer.
Yeah. That was rough on all of us.
Isn't it it's not the same backup from last year? Did he transfer?
I think so.
Emery Williams?
I don't know.
Emery Williams?
Is it not Emery?
I don't know. I saw
Did you say he ran into the Jozegaki today?
Well, I saw him walking. I was taking my daughter to school, and we were already late leaving the house, so I couldn't talk to him, but I just gave him a beep, beep, and he waved, but I just think he waves at anybody that beeps.
I do that.
Me too.
Yeah, Emery, according to ESPN, Emery is still, and 24/7 Sports, he's still the quarterback at the University of Miami.
All right.
I see a Luke Nickel.
Yeah, Portillo's is starting breakfast next week.
Huh?
What happened?
Sick.
Portillo's is adding breakfast for the first time ever. Only Chicagoland, not the Tampa stores.
Oh, okay. They ain't going to lose money on that one.
What do you guys eat in Chicago for breakfast?
Pizza. According to the Chicago Tribune, the trial menu will offer 5 new breakfast items, including Polish sausage. That's a good Chicago breakfast, Polish sausage. What are you shaking your head? Like a good Polish sausage in the morning.
For breakfast? That's disgusting, man.
That's where you have your Polish sausage. That's
disgusting, bro. I don't
Are you know. Joking?
No, that's
You want to have a Polish sausage for breakfast?
It's just gross. They just drop a big old fat sausage right on your plate. That's disgusting.
Polish sausage right on your plate. That's you get a little biscuit with that.
Gross.
A biscuit and a sausage?
Egg and cheese sandwich. Pepper egg and cheese sandwich. Chocolate cake donut. Topped with Portillo's chocolate cake frosting.
Of course.
Holy mackerel. Their chocolate cake is unbelievable. I'll tell you what. You start the day with a Polish sausage and a chocolate cake donut? Come on. You're not telling me that you're not going to have a good day?
Stomach's ruined.
Open heart surgery by 8:45.
What brings you in today? A Polish sausage and a chocolate cake donut.
Yeah, Jack. Those EMTs, get ready.
I was thinking about that the other day. People eat donuts for breakfast, pancakes for breakfast. Really anything goes for breakfast. If you're eating donuts, if that's a typical American breakfast,
it is a typical American breakfast.
That's a cake. A donut is a cake. I realize it's a different
you
texture.
Remember the Cosby routine? That is great. Give us the chocolate cake. It's a legendary Bill Cosby routine that his wife Camille had to leave the house and he had to feed the kids breakfast. And he's looking around. I get this exactly like Cosby does in the routine. Yep. Looking around the kitchen, I see chocolate cake. And the kids say, "Dad, can we have the chocolate cake?" He said, and I thought to myself, Eggs are in chocolate cake. Flour is in chocolate cake. Milk is in chocolate cake. And he goes through the whole thing where he fed the kids chocolate cake for breakfast, and they sang, "Dad is great. Give us the chocolate cake." And then Camille came home.
Camille. Aren't you the time of day guys with food, though? Because y'all, can I eat Alfredo for breakfast? That has milk in it.
No, that's ridiculous.
That has milk in it.
Breakfast, I believe you can have breakfast almost any time during the day. Oh, but what you can have at breakfast, kind of narrow. Mm-hmm.
And so pancakes can be eaten any time, but I can't eat anytime. Alfredo at 10 a.m.
That is correct. You got
y'all
it.
Are silly.
Polish sausage. Name your hour. Don't matter.
Like, y'all just hate Alfredo.
Camille! I want to give that to DBJ, but I don't think you can do that anymore. I don't think you can do Cosby lines.
No, you can't do Cosby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody turned on the Diddy song in the car when I was driving the other last week, and I was like, hey, man.
I listen to him.
Yeah, don't video this if we're going to listen to this song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that TikTok reel won't really do numbers or the wrong numbers if it's to the Diddy reel.
Or
can't stop, won't stop. No.
Great pass by Carson Beck. Camille.
Was that him? Was it called himself? Bill Cosby himself.
That was Bill Cosby himself. Yeah,
himself. That's a good bro.
It's
can
incredible.
I say that's a good stand-up?
Okay, I cannot not say that it's not great. It's one of the best stand-ups. He does the entire stand-up sitting in a chair.
Yep.
It is hilarious. One of the greatest comedy specials you will ever see in your life. He was such a masterful storyteller. Don't text me in. I know the whole story. Like, no, you're not going to shock me now with the twist at the end of the Cosby story. I'm very aware of it. I'm telling you, Bill Cosby himself is on the Mount Rushmore of comedy performances.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was famous for being a stand-up comedian. Notorious.
I mean, that's what he was.
Oh, stupid.
No joke. I thought the Cosby Show is why Bill Cosby was famous. But
that's why he got the Cosby Show. They give, shows to comedians.
I don't know. Don't put it in the podcast. He's one of the most talented comedians in the history of the world.
You can put that in the podcast because he's on my Mount Rushmore of comedians.
Solana,
we had this conversation yesterday about Tyreek Hill trying to separate personal life from on-the-field performance. Yeah. And like, I can't get there with Diddy and maybe years from now. That stuff is so disgusting. I mean, I just like, I'm done with him. Kanye, done. I don't ever need to hear a Kanye song for the rest of my life. Bill Cosby, I still watch that show. And I don't, I, you know, it's just like, I think maybe because I knew him as a funny guy and ostensibly a nice guy for a lot longer than I knew him as a creep.
As a, yeah.
I don't know.
It's the art from the artist.
I guess
it's going to be a long going conversation about a lot of people now that we start. Like, to your point, we knew him and then we knew him. Art from the artist. Michael Jackson was a bad man.
Yeah.
Then he was a bad man.
Camille!
So, Hawk, when you guys get together in Chicago to eat Polish sausages, you guys all meet
Polish
up at
sausage.
You just meet up at the Bean, right? All of you? You just go over there to the Bean.
We meet at the Bean, and then we you go to the closest Portillo's.
Right. And then
and you get a Polish sausage.
In between every bite, you just yell out, "The Bears."
The Bean is a waste of time.
What you talking about?
They have a little performing center, like a little stage next to it. That we were at and watched
that area. So that area is fantastic.
That area is nice, but the Bean was silly. It's just a bean made of mirrors.
What? What are you talking about?
What's
what else
bean?
Is silly? The Mona Lisa?
Oh, the Mona Lisa is beautiful.
The Seattle the bean, Space Needle.
It's a construction that towers over the city. The
Bayside?
Bean is a little mirror bean.
Oh, way to the diminish bean, one the of the bean, greatest pieces the, of artwork in 20th century history.
The Bean and the home run structure are about
this
on the
same.
This is
not the 20th level. Century. I don't understand how to do centuries. So.
Yeah, it's not the 21st century. But truthfully, I don't know when the Bean.
I didn't say 21st century.
Sorry,
I said 20th.
Right. It's not the 20th.
It's not?
Isn't?
I don't understand how to do centuries.
The museum is right there by the Bean.
One after. Yeah.
What the museum is right. That's real art. You're going to go with this little mirror bean. That's a waste of everyone's time.
You're insulting us all Chicagoans. The way you have talked about Montas Buzelis and the Bean this week is really.
They're just as successful.
Send this to Sylvie and tell Sylvie never to book Crowder on his show again.
They're just as successful. The Bean is Montas Buzelis.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You are not wrong. They are both artists and art and pieces of art.
A good D plus. Both
Man,
of them.
Man, you tell me. Tell me a better day. Waking up in the morning, go to Portillo's, get a Polish sausage and a chocolate cake donut, and you meander over to the Bean. You look at one of the finest pieces of artwork in American history. And then you head over to the United Center and see Matas Buzelis throw up some dagger threes. Name a better day for me.
You want me to write them down?
Camille! What a weird thing to come to bring back in 2025.
Camille!
You've also opened up a can of worms because, man, the Mona Lisa sucks. We can all agree on that, right? Like, it genuinely, it is.
So we went,
The size of this paper.
Yeah, we went to Paris a few weeks ago, and we were doing Paris just one day. So we went to the Louvre just to see the outdoor area and that whole area. We didn't even go inside to see the Mona Lisa because I had heard over and over again, it's a really small painting.
Yeah, right here.
It's beautiful, that little mad white lady.
Yeah, you think that's beautiful and the bean is nothing?
The bean is nothing. The bean is
all right.
The bean.
That's all we need to know.
I can make the bean in my backyard.
Anyone could draw the Mona Lisa. Anyone.
Oh, they could, huh?
That's right.
So the dude that cut his ear off, he's not right.
You're yes. Crazy. From Reservoir Dogs you're talking about?
Hey, create me a big ass mirror bean. I can get it. I can get it made by Monday.
You wouldn't even know where to start.
Mirrors.
Those are your sports headlines. Over to weather. Inter Miami plays.
You guys hear that new R. Kelly track? It is so good. I'm terrible people.
The remix to Ignition was off the chain.
That was a, did we have DBJ do that once? Because how does that remix start? It's like,
it's a remix to Ignition.
I'm fresh out the kitchen. Like, Mama rolling oh, my body. Got every man in here wishing.
One step in my room of fun, too. R. Kelly made some good music, which is not allowed to listen.
Isn't that
cell block for fun? Cell block one for fun.
I believe I can fly. Fun. I believe I can fly. Isn't that R. Kelly? I believe
yep.
I can
yes,
fly.
It is.
Space Jam.
Mm-hmm. I believe I can touch the sky.
He's thinking about something else every night and day now.
Yeah, well, he wasn't really trying to touch the sky, unfortunately. Touching young women, unfortunately.
When them dudes is headed in his cell, that's what he needs to think about.
The hell happened to this segment, man?
Camille!
That's what happened to it. Camille happened to it.
Really ridiculous segment.
All right. Inter Miami, they play at Chicago. Speaking of Chicago.
The Bean.
The Bean. Leo Messi's gonna be at the Bean. They play there Sunday. The Marlins host the Nationals all weekend. First pitch is at 7:10. And again, Canes spring game tomorrow. Heat at the Pelicans tonight. They play their final regular season game Sunday at 1:00. They host Washington. And shout out to Los Gatos, who did win yesterday. They beat the Red Wings. Your weather, Rummy DeMesbin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida. Tonight, the lows will drop into the 70s. That is your weather.
How quickly do you think we get Will Manzo to hang up on us if we just ask him about Cosby, R. Kelly, Diddy?
He gonna get busy. Have a good one, fellas.
Will Manzo is next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Denise!
Hawk and Crowder.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will Manzo, sports director at Local 10 here in Miami. Of course, you see him on the Heat broadcast, FanDuel Sports Network Sun. Heater in New Orleans tonight. It is the penultimate game of this wild and woolly season. We were talking at the beginning of the show today, Will, about what Eric Spoelstra has come out and said today, which is that he's going to treat the next two games like regular games that they want to win. Starters are going to start and players are going to play. There's going to be no resting people and getting them ready for the play-in. So what do you think about that approach?
I mean, I think at this point, what do they have to lose? I mean, they're basically locked into the 10 seed, and sure, there's possibilities they can get out of it. But I think the only thing the Heat can control now, which, you know, obviously injuries, the Jimmy situation, all the things that happened this season that made it such a wild year, they couldn't control. But the only thing they can control now is trying to play their best basketball into the play-in, you know, and the only way I think to do that is to get everybody back in the rotation, get, you know, Andrew Wiggins just came back, Bam came back after one game absence, you know, get everybody kind of locked and loaded and see what happens, because they're either going to go into the play-in, you know, that falls short, and we're going to all figure out in the offseason what the heck went wrong and how do they need to fix it. But with two games left, I mean, what do you got to lose at this point? Play your guys, try to go in with some momentum and see if you can make some noise.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about was if they are to go through, let's say they get to the first round, Boston or Cleveland, do you give them a puncher's chance in beating either of those teams, or at least making it? I was saying to Crowder and Solana, like, I think they could take Cleveland to seven games, and you get to a seventh game, who knows what's going to happen.
I mean, I'd love to think like you, and I want to believe that given the Heat's history, and I think they can get the benefit of the doubt, especially the core of Bam and Tyler, the veterans on this team, Eric Spoelstra coach team. You just never know. But, you and I talked about it. We all talked about it maybe a couple weeks ago. The reality is the body of work of this team doesn't show that, right? It doesn't show that you could sit there and confidently say, hey, this is like the Heat team of the last couple of years. Like, you don't want to see this team. You don't want to see this team. I don't know if Cleveland and Boston right now, given the Heat situation, is saying that. You know, Could the Heat give you a challenge? Yeah, sure. You probably don't want to have an Eric Spoelstra-led team and the way they prepare, the way they play in a seven-game series. But the Heat beating one of those teams four times, even three times, it seems unlikely given the way the season has gone.
And with that, like with the culture thing, we did play the drop earlier in the show. With that culture thing, like the strategy of it and all that stuff, like when you set up your team around being the culture, the toughest condition, the toughest team and all that Riley says, you have to continue to play that way. You have to continue to do that 365 days of the year, right?
Yeah, you can't. And that's the thing. It's a good point, Shannon. You can't preach it and then say, hey, we're going to take the foot off the pedal and see what happens in the playing game. And, you know, you just have to stay with that. That is the beauty of being the whole Heat culture and the way they do things is when they play well, which is the majority of their history, they're a contender. It's great. When they don't, it's kind of like, well, what happened? Where's the culture? What's going on? And people use that as kind of a thing to point at. But the reality is they're never going to stop playing. Like Eric Spoelstra, like we ask him the questions and we all know the answers. Like Spo is never going to concede. You guys remember the preseason? I forgot who asked him a question about, hey, you know, you guys really don't seem like the team to beat compared to the, you know, the Boston and maybe even New York. And he's like, I'm not conceding anything, you know, and that's just the way he is and the way they are.
Will the Heat bypass an opportunity to save some money by waiving Davion Mitchell? I think it's a perfect fit. I've been really trying to champion keeping Davion Mitchell and keeping him here next year as well since they signed him. I just think he's a Heat culture type of guy. He's a Spo kind of player. I guess you're not surprised to see that, you know, they didn't waive him and that there's a report from Barry Jackson that seems like both sides are looking towards the future as well.
I think this is the classic case of a perfect fit. Like the things that Davion is missing, the structure to keep him focused on exactly what he needs to do every single minute he's on the court is perfect with the Heat because Davion, as good as he is defensively, as good as he's been, and my God, he's been shooting lights out and playing well offensively too, there are parts of his game that I think need this culture, need that constant reminder that you could never let up for 1 second. So to me, I've said it weeks ago as well, and I'm with you, Solana. I think they need to find a way to re-sign him. He needs to be a priority. But I will say this. In the chase of getting a big player, everybody's kind of expendable outside of Bam and Tyler likely. So I can't say for certainty that, hey, they're going to bring him back. He's part of the future because I think they're going to look for ways to do something big and try to improve this team to get to the next level. But in a perfect world, Davion Mitchell should stay in a Heat uniform next season. He's been phenomenal since he got here.
Let me go back to Wednesday night for 1 second. We've talked to a couple people about it. What was your take on Tyler Hero? You know, they're down five. He steals the ball from Kobe White. Could have a breakaway layup, cut the game to one possession, decides to fire off a three, and it ends up turning into an 8-point lead for the Bulls with 30 seconds left. What was your take on that?
I mean, look, shooters are going to shoot, right? And Tyler talked about he's going to live and die like that. And I think we've gotten used, like people who watch Heat games, and all of us do, and regularly, you see that Tyler has that mentality, man. He's going to shoot. Sometimes he gets, you know, on a fast break and he stops and he shoots a three. And sometimes he makes them and we're jumping up and down. Sometimes he misses and we're scratching our heads going, man, why didn't you drive? In this case, because of the situation, he obviously made the wrong decision. And I think Eric Spoelstra touched on it, you know, in postgame. I think he did it in a classy way where he wasn't going to throw Tyler under the bus. But he basically said, I have to coach him better in those situations. And it's true because shooter's going to shoot. You know, you got to go for the kill shot. But I think Spo was quoted as saying that wasn't a kill shot opportunity when you're down five. A kill shot is, hey, you're up two, you're going on a fast break. Maybe you hit a three, now you're up five. Not the reverse where you're down, you know, trying to get into a one possession game. It wasn't the right play. I can't fault Tyler for being Tyler, though. I mean, that's just the way he is. Hopefully it's something that if it ever comes to that situation again, he'll think it through a little better. But Tyler taking wide open threes isn't something I'm going to sleep for because the guy's been a phenomenal all-star player the majority of the season. He deserves to get that opportunity.
And, Will, shooter's going to shoot. You, Hawk, myself, we're all married, and then Solana's engaged. So shooter's shooting. We figure out a way to do it. But with this playoff run and with the play-in and all that, what has to happen, to Hawk's point, to really be able to get into the playoffs, to even get to play Cleveland, play Boston, one of those things? Yeah. Tyler is going to play well. Bam's going to be Bam. Bam's going to go 20 and 10. Tyler's going to do his thing. What else has to happen for us to make that Cinderella run that Heat fans love?
Yeah, they got to limit turnovers. They got to play, you know, they got to play their defense. I don't think they can ugly down games too much these days. It's just so much offense in the league. Even the play-in teams, you look at the Chicago's and Atlanta's. I mean, they could throw up 130, 140 points. Like, you would think the bottom of the East, you know, bottom of a conference is going to be the weaker teams. Yet those teams can score. So, Channing, they got to play defense, but they also have to score. They got to limit the basics of basketball, and they give themselves a chance. A lot in the last week. Like, do you think the Heat have a chance? Well, of course they have a chance. I'm talking about at the play-in. All these teams are 7 through 10 for a reason. They all have holes. They all have inconsistencies. They all have dealt with injuries or whatever it may be. None of these teams are perfect. So this isn't like, okay, if they got to play a Cleveland or Boston where it's clear who has the advantage. In this case, it's a toss-up. And there's no reason that, again, an Eric Spoelstra coach team, two old players in Bam and Tyler, can't have good, balanced games as a team in games to the playoffs. I think that's certainly possible. After that, I
feel like we're losing Will here. Where are you, Will? You're in the tunnel?
No, I'm actually, you know what this area does? I'm like in North Miami area. This area gets a little, reception gets a little wild. But I,
a little
what I
dicey.
Said was really, what I said was really intelligent and articulate, if you missed it.
We'll just take your word for it.
Will, but as it pertains to Chicago, because after the game, that, you know, all the questions were, hey, what do you have to do? It seems likely the Heat are going to play Chicago in that 9-10 matchup, maybe Atlanta. But Chicago, they've lost 2-3 times this year. Oh, we know their pace. We have to slow them down. They're the second best pace. We have to keep them from – the reality is that's what the Bulls do. Will, yeah. I think the difference between the Heat being able to beat Chicago on the road, beating the Atlanta Hawks on the road, it's going to come down to – Duncan Robinson, Alec Burks, Davion Mitchell. Yeah. It's those guys knocking in threes. That's it, period. Like, that to me is the complete difference, because you're right, limit turnovers or whatever, but the Bulls are going to do what they do. They're going to play fast. They're going to get into the painted area. Like, the 119 points isn't that many points for the Bulls. The Heat just need their guys to hit threes. I think it's that simple.
I mean, look, when it comes to the Heat success, and that's been a few years now, they live and die by the three. So, you know, them making – sure, could you think that in two games in a row they could have 16 to 20 threes? Because I think that's what it would take. If they get in that 16, 18 threes in a game made, I'm talking about, on, you know, 50 attempts, 45 attempts at a close to 40% clip, then I think absolutely you're right. Because it does – again, it takes offense. You can't beat those teams in the mud. And I know Spo loves saying that, but the chances of you going into Chicago – in a playing game and winning 96-94, you know, are just very slim. I mean, to your point, they're going to run. They're going to get to their things. The reason I say turnovers is because, unfortunately, the Bulls love to run. And a big part of that is off turnovers, off loose balls, off rebounds. If you can limit that, at least you take a few possessions away. But, yeah, look, the Heat aren't going to get anywhere if they don't shoot the ball well and score a lot of points, because that's just the way the NBA is now.
And Will, somebody asked Solana the other day too, like, because he was talking about the Bulls' pace after they beat them and all that stuff. Why can't the Heat run? We're not that big of a team. We don't have lumbering bigs. We have damn Khalil Ware and Bam. Like, why can't we run and have a pace like that?
Pigeons are fleet of foot.
He's a hell of a – listen, that's a talented pigeon, I'll tell you that much. No, the reality is, I think you go back to preseason, you know, and training camp, I think Spo wanted to. I think that was the plan, right? To be a little more electric on offense. And I think, and I'm not going to blame Jimmy for everything. Trust me, this isn't. But I do think Jimmy and everything just derailed the season a bit, where they never got whatever it is that they were trying to do going. And maybe, by the way, Spo sits down in the offseason and looks and says, you know what? This whole new offense I kind of tinkered with and sort of created and tried to put together for this roster, I didn't do a good job. Maybe Spo looks and says, I didn't do a good enough job. The things I thought we were going to do and play with pace and run and kind of get up and down while not losing our mentality and identity of defense didn't work. And that's something that, as a coach, you look in the mirror and you watch the film and you say, I could do better. I think that'll be part of Spo's process of the offseason. But to answer your question, Channing, I don't know, because we haven't really seen it this season while we see other teams do it. And it's part of the frustration of wanting the Heat to get to that next level again, is kind of catching up to the style of the NBA where teams run, teams score. It's the only way to win now. The games in the mud are very hard to win consistently.
Well, fellas, I've got some interesting news here that's been DM'd to me from my friends at Mark Light Shakes. Now, I want to tell you the milkshake that they're making in Coral Gables this weekend. Listen to this. Are you a fan of the Masters, Will?
I enjoy it. Yeah, I haven't watched anything yet, but I'll watch them this weekend.
All right. But you like all the pomp and circumstance surrounding the Masters,
yeah,
or no?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not like one of your bucket list.
I you know, it's not really a bucket list, but I wouldn't say no to going. Like, I could live without going, but if I ever get a chance to go, you know I'm going to try. So that's for sure.
Mark Light Shakes this weekend are doing pimento cheese milkshakes. Mm. It's got vanilla yogurt, vanilla ice cream, vanilla syrup, pimento cheese, and potato chips all blended up, and it is topped with a mini pimento cheese sandwich. Look at this. I don't know if you can see that. Yeah. Look at that.
Disgusting.
A mini pimento cheese sandwich.
Oh, that's nasty.
Right in the shake.
Wow,
so
I
listen, it's not your traditional Passover meal, but I think that's going to be my Passover meal this weekend. I think I'm going to head down to Mark Light Shake and get the pimento cheese milkshake and just kind of hope Hashem gives me a wink and a nod and says, you know, I understand.
I have to, when I'm done driving, I'm going to have to pull up that picture and take a look and see what the heck it looks like.
I'll send it to you. It's on Instagram. It's under Mark Light Shakes on Instagram. Would you try that?
No, 100% no. No, listen, I'm a 50-year-old man with a 50-year-old stomach having milk and cheese in a, are you kidding me? Mixed together in a, that's not going to happen.
You know, Crowder makes fun of me. Solana and Crowder make fun of me. So I'm fascinated with the Masters and John Ruth from the UM Sports Hall of Fame and Museum. You know, he goes every year.
He's got
season, can't call them season tickets because we had him on Wednesday. What did he tell us? Season badges or annual badges.
Yeah.
But he brought me back a couple years ago the wrappers, the green wrappers that they put around the egg salad sandwich and the pimento cheese sandwich at Augusta.
Wow.
And because I wanted those, because what happens is, like, tomorrow and Sunday, I'll watch the Masters. I will make a pimento cheese sandwich on white bread, and then I will place it in his old wrappers. So I feel like I'm at Augusta.
You take 2 or 3 year old used wrappers and put them around your first sandwiches?
Yep.
Well, I mean, at what point is a wrapper a used wrapper? You know what I mean? Like,
after it's used, isn't it just
still a wrapper? You know what I mean? He's the DJ, I'm the rapper. Yeah, whole nother topic. So you would
not do that.
I mean, I might put it like in a Ziploc and put it away and tell people, hey, this came from the Masters, but I wouldn't put it on my fresh sandwich. No. I wouldn't put it on my
But I've been doing it for a couple of years now. I have a drawer. So now I've got listeners who bring me back rappers from Augusta. So I have a drawer filled with
trash.
Augusta wrappers, the barbecue sandwich wrapper, like I have them all.
That's fascinating. I would not do that, but you know, you're clearly a fan of the Masters.
Garbage. He's collecting garbage, Will.
Hey, you're like you love the 80s like I do. I was telling Solana and Crowder the other day, I was very jealous that your daughter loves 80s music like you do. She went to Violent Femmes with you at Pompano Beach. Like, I can't get my son to buy into any of that stuff. Apropos of nothing. It's not apropos of nothing. It's apropos of something we talked about in the first segment. Can you still find Bill Cosby stand-up specials or the Bill Cosby Show funny?
Probably not. I haven't seen a clip, I guess, because he's so canceled and out of the loop. You know, I haven't seen a clip. I probably couldn't. Like, it's funny you mention that. It's not just Bill Cosby. Anybody who's disgraced or you find out some terrible thing about them, you know, it's hard to see them in that light. So I guess to answer your question, no, probably not. I probably couldn't watch The Cosby Show and laugh because
I still love it.
I'm going to be thinking.
I still maintain Bill Cosby himself. That stand-up special is one of the funniest stand-up specials.
Hilarious.
If you hear me say Camille, you know what I'm referencing. Camille.
Yeah. Those lines from that special itself, I mean, the stuff with the parenting and stuff, I mean, it's hilarious. And I'm curious if I saw it again, if I would keep watching it and still find it funny. I'd probably, just for nostalgia, think of how much I laughed back then. But then you still think, like, wow, that is Bill Cosby. It's not exactly a likable
dude. Bad dude.
It's tough, Will.
I don't want them. Well, right. I actually keep old boxes of pudding pops because I like to kind of have my, put my fresh pudding pops in there. So yeah, that's
it's a lot of nice. I think you'd eat the pimento cheese sandwich if you came over. I'm just saying, if I served it to you in the wrapper, you would kind of say to yourself, "Well, this is really neat. I feel like I'm at Augusta."
Next time I'm in concert and I head to a concert, I'm going to Boca. I'll stop by the Hockman House and have some pimento laced.
See who's coming to play the Boca Centennial next month.
I saw the Weezer's coming. I may actually go. Yeah. I saw Weezer's performing.
Yeah, that's a good show. I'm still looking forward to Meisner Park.
Yeah, I'm doing Billy Idol. You're doing Billy Idol, right? In Sunrise?
Yeah, I got to see Billy Idol. Is that with Joan Jett, right?
Yeah, Joan Jett, Billy Idol. We'll be there. Yeah. Katie and I are going. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yep.
Bring your napkins and use that. Bring your garbage.
Have you ever had salmonella? Because you're going to get it if you eat out of that little package that he has over at his house, Will. That's nasty.
You know how clean they keep things at Augusta? I mean, they're honestly, their trash is probably cleaner than most of the restaurants you eat at, including the one you ate at in Florida City that had the roach pressed into the back of the sandwich.
I will say this. I'm not going to lie. Quickly, I took a buddy of mine. He wanted to go to the Breakers in Palm Beach, and I'm not a Palm Beach 2020 guy, but I took him to breakfast at the Breakers, and I hadn't been to the Breakers since I was in high school. I think we had an event there in high school once. And I went, and I'm not kidding, I wanted to take some of the little things, like the napkins and the things. I'm not going to lie. I felt like putting them in my pocket and bringing them too and just having them. And I would reuse those just to feel kind of important for a little bit.
That's what the Ticket Wizard's mom says about all country clubs and the Breakers and stuff. Oh, they want you to take it. They'll never know.
I got to tell you one last story. So you can see how poor or like not, you know, to that level I felt. So they have a little store. My buddy's from LA. He wanted to get a shirt that said Breakers. So of course I go to the clearance section. I'm from Miami. I'm Cuban. I'm going to the clearance section. I go to the clearance section and they have a shirt and it's nice and it's on sale for $40. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get it. And this woman next to me ruins it because she says, oh, you know, they have those in your room. You could just take them for free. I said, I'm not staying here, lady. I can't afford $2,000 a night.
I'm not in a room. That's why I'm buying shirts off the clearance rack. Will, by the way, you want to know how wealthy Crowder is? That's where his wedding was.
Will, I got married at the Breakers, and if I didn't get married at the Breakers, I'd already be retired. I'm making up for Breakers' wedding 15 years later.
I mean, you see the wealth disparity on this show, man. So he was married at the Breakers.
I'm trying to buy a $40 shirt and got shamed for it. So then my buddy looks and he says, what would a room cost this weekend? $3,100 a night.
I'm eating sandwiches out of the garbage. I mean, what the hell's going on here?
They can't slow me down. I bought the damn shirt. Forget that, lady. I paid $40 for it.
Will Manso. See you, Will. Have a good broadcast tonight.
All right, guys. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Will Manso from Local 10 and FanDuel Sports Network Sun.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Boca represent.
Hawk and Crowder.